Blog Talk Radio.
Host Janice Snell. Welcome to Beauty Talk for today, Sunday, May 4th. We're excited about tonight's show. We're talking tonight about editorial hair and makeup. Just want to remind everyone that the call-in number is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. So if you have a question or comment, give us a call and we'll get your question or comment out there. And right now we're going to start with some beauty news, so I'll let you get that started.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the beauty news. The nail guy, Robert Nguyen, is looking for nail techs that live in the Los Angeles area to work in his new Beverly Hills salon called the House of Polish. The House of Polish is located at 161 North La Cienega Boulevard in Beverly Hills. And for more information on how you can become a part of Robert's team, you can call 626-215-9542, or you can email him at info@thehouseofpolish.com. Again, that's info@thehouseofpolish.com, or you can call 626-215-9542. And speaking of nail techs, I wanted to take a few minutes in the next few weeks to discuss in detail each individual category of the Famous Nails competition at Fame Expo. Now, the first category that I wanted to talk a little bit about, and maybe Janice can kind of jump into and add her input, but the first category I wanted to cover is soak-off gel salon art design. The salon art design soak-off gel manicure should be done on both hands, and the time for the competition will be 2 hours, 2 hours only. This competition is done on natural nails only. The required elements for the competition are as follows. The models are to come with nails ready to be manicured. The nails are to be manicured during the competition. Soaking is optional during the competition. Lotion and massage is not necessary. All models' nails will be checked to make sure that their manicures and filing of the nails were done prior to the competition. The nails must appear to be at least 1 week without any type of manicuring. If it is determined that the model's nails have been manicured prior to the competition, a 5-point deduction can be enforced on the competitor. The nails must be enhanced and covered with any type of soak-off gel or gel polish. Any colored gel polish is allowed. There's no limit to the amount of colors that you can use. Rhinestones, studs, foil, tape, glitter are all allowed. All free edge shapes are allowed. No traditional nail polish should be used. A top sealer must be applied. Rules of sanitation must be adhered to. All products must be clearly labeled. All products used for manicuring are allowed. All products and tools must be on your table prior to the start of the competition, and you are not allowed to get products out of your case or have products brought in from outside the competition area once the competition begins. And all competitors are responsible for bringing their own LED or UV lamp. And for more information on this category and just the general rules of the competition, you can visit the Fame Expo website, which is fameexpo.com, fameexpo.com. Is there anything that you want to add to that?
Hello, hello. Did I get disconnected? Hello, hello.
I'm sorry. Can you guys hear me?
Oh.
No, it was,
I
must have been muted. There you go.
Okay. Can you, everybody can hear me now?
Yeah.
I apologize for that. What I was saying was, I wanted to add to what she was saying, is that the entry fees for the competition is $50 for one competition, $150 for all four, and teams that want to enter all can enter for free if you're on a team. But there are no refunds for your entry fees. So once you pay your entry fees, there are no refunds if you decide later you're not going to do it. Everyone can go to the Fame Expo website to get additional information, and that website is www.fameexpo.com, and that's PHAMEXPO.com. And I think that's it for this week.
Yes, that's
so
all
you
I
have.
Do
you have any more? Okay, that's all you have? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Cool. So, again, I just want to remind everyone that the call-in number is 914-803-4399. Again, it's 914-803-4399. And also, if you see information about Fame Expo's the nail competition, feel free to forward it to nail tech that you may know in your city, because this is a new competition, so we're trying to get the word out all over. And feel free to share that information. And again, I want to stress that this is a competition for nail tech of all levels. So anybody can enter. But in order for you to place, this is important to know, in order for you to place to receive any kind of prize or trophy, you must enter more than one competition. I think it's a total of three that you have to enter to be able to place. You can't enter one competition and be awarded prize. So you can enter one competition, but if you want to be, you know, if you want to place, it has to be more than that. So we'll start tonight's show. We have Deshawn Hatcher as our guest tonight, and she's going to be talking from a make point. And we have Valerie Noble, who will share with us all information that we need to know about editorial hair. So I wanted to welcome both of you ladies to the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm sorry, I'm losing my voice. Hi.
Oh, sorry. Well, let's just jump right in. One of the first things I wanted to ask, and you guys may be like, okay, this is a crazy question, but I'm going to ask anyway because there are people out there who have it confused, some just don't know. I'd like to know from both of you, what is editorial in your opinion? What is editorial makeup and what is editorial hair? What does that look like?
Valerie?
Oh, okay. I am both a hair and makeup artist. I started off as a cosmetologist a zillion years ago, and then I came to L.A. because I thought I wanted to get in to do hair, you know, movies for and be this fabulous hairstylist on movies. And in the course of me finding my way in Hollywood, I found out I don't really have the temperament to do TV or really even movies, and I found editorial. And what editorial actually is printed work. So anything that you do from printed advertising to magazines to, you know, anything that's printed that's going to be, you know, posters, whatever. To me, that's an editorial feature. That's how I would describe it.
Oh, okay. It's somewhat similar, but to me, there are two different types of editorials because I also come from the movie background, and then I switched over to fashion. And for me, what I consider editorial would be what we all strive for would be the editorial spreads, the fashion and beauty editorial spreads that you see in magazines. And those are the 3 and 4 page different style makeup and all that stuff that you see, like, say, in the back of the Marie Claire, Vogue, all of those spreads is what we all strive to have. Then there's something else called an editorial, which would be, how do you explain? Like, you know, you see those pictures where the girl might be laughing, and it says, oh, your boyfriend makes you so happy, so here's how we do it. And it explains, that's also called an editorial as well. Those are cool, but those are not the things that you would strive for and put in your book. You know, when you first start off, of course you do, but, you know, you really strive for the stuff that's more towards the back of the book with the fashion spreads and the beauty spreads and all that kind of stuff. So that's what I consider an editorial.
Yeah, I agree, and those are pretty much what we would call tear sheets.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the kind of spread that obviously you want in your portfolio that really showcases your work and that you would definitely call a tear sheet. But as it comes to approaching how you do the makeup, I think print is different than film. That's, yeah.
Oh, my God. It is a world of difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
we'll talk a little bit about how you do the makeup, but let me ask you quickly, because I've been seeing this lately, and I'm not trying to get too far off the subject, but lately I've been seeing different makeup and hairstylists say, like, on their profiles or, like, maybe their social media profiles, they'll say such and such makeup artist or hairstylist, they'll say that they are a published makeup artist or hairstylist. First of all, is that necessary on your profiles or your resume? Is that necessary to say that you are a published makeup artist or hairstylist to consider you for editorial work?
That's something new. I haven't seen that yet, but I feel like that's like maybe a newbie trying to make a point. I think they're just trying to make a point. I'm published.
Yes.
I'm published. That's what I feel
I
like
agree.
That's about. It's not necessary. It's not what's the norm, or I don't want to shoot it down, but it's not professional to kind of do that, because it's clearly
right.
If you are in an editorial, then you are a published person. So it's sort of like saying I'm published. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any sense. I just think that's a newbie trying to make themselves sound better and not understanding what it really means. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think that's somebody using a tagline so that, you know, if you don't, for some reason you weren't able to gather your tear sheets or you have some missing or, you know, whatever, you kind of want people to know that. But, you know, that's sort of just cheating, I think. Well,
it's
not even cheating. Sort of immature.
Yeah, it's redundant. It's redundant.
It's redundant.
Because if you,
that's the word.
Yeah, it's redundant. Like, if you are a published person or if you do editorials, duh, you're published. So
right.
There's no need
right.
to do that. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, yeah. And to further that point, I mean, even on my taglines on my email, I'm putting celebrity hair and makeup, and I'm starting to think that maybe I need to take that off because it's kind of I mean, you know, I was doing it at first more so because, you know, you're always striving for perfection, and I think all of us are perfectionists.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we even do that. We put published, we put celebrity, so that we can kind of keep ourselves buoyed to feel like we're still in the game, you know, because the game is always changing, and you always feel like, God, am I really keeping up? Am I doing my best? You know,
right.
maybe that's
right.
part of it. So So I think after this conversation, I'm going to take the celebrity part
too
off.
Too funny.
As redundancy, now that you pointed it out, Ms. DeShawn. Which
but it's not the same thing, though. It really isn't the
no,
same
it's
thing.
Okay.
And I also feel like it's, like when we, you know, when you're working for a long time in the business and you do work with celebrities, I don't really tout the name either. I don't tout celebrity makeup artists, though people do put it on me. I don't run around saying, yes, I'm a celebrity makeup artist. If you go on my resume, yes, I do work with celebrities. So, but I know what you mean. It's like, well, do I do it? Do I not? It seems trendy to do it now. It seems very, it's like a trend to all of a sudden come up with these titles. But I also feel like I always call out newbies, and you newbies who follow me, y'all know I'm talking to you with love. But it's just like trying to kind of make yourself sound better than what you are right now.
I agree. And you almost need that sometimes, though, because that's how you kind of feel like, okay, I can compete. Because how can I compete with Sam Fine, who's been around forever? You know, I feel like I'm good, but am I as good? You know, you almost, I think we use these tags kind of, and then people are looking at me going, well, but you do so-and-so. So,
right.
You know, after my particular person won an Oscar, everybody's looking at me, and I'm still looking around like, who are you talking to? You know, who are you talking about kind of thing. So, I think you changed my mind, Ms. DeShawn. I'm going to have to take that celebrity off.
You know what? I don't think there's anything wrong because I really tout myself as like the beauty editorial. You know, I say a lot of my tagline is long because I like to think with all the things that I can do. And then I throw in celebrity in there. It's in there, but it's not like I don't run around saying, like if you go to my website, it doesn't say DeShawn Hatcher, celebrity makeup artist.
Right.
It doesn't do that. You know, and because also I think that a lot of times that people are trying, or people's, the clientele may be geared towards, let's say, weddings and brides.
Okay.
That's very poo-poo to brides. Like, ooh, who did you work on? Woo!
That's true.
But when you work in our field and you're kind of already working with all these people, I'm not going to say nobody cares, but they're all, you know, they're celebrities, so who cares? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For us.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
So I think that's why we don't run around and do that. But if I were doing weddings and consumers, then yes, I know when I do work with them, that's the first thing they ask. Oh my God, who have you worked with?
Yes.
Do I know? And it's
that's
like,
true.
Oh Jesus Christ, do I have to start talking about this now?
Right.
So for me, it's not the thing that I push out there to be impressive. It doesn't impress me to work with these people. It's nice to work with them, and some of them are lovely, but it's not the end-all be-all to what I do and who I am as an artist. So, you know, I just feel like it's overused. I feel like the first time somebody touches a celebrity, whether it's put powder on their face or, God forbid, wipe sweat off their brow, you call yourself a celebrity makeup artist. And that has kind of gotten out of control. But, you know, it's hard to regulate anything in this business.
It really is. It really is. And I just threw that out there because I totally agree with what the both of you are saying, but I just threw it out there because I've seen it a lot. And some of these young girls out here that are doing it, I know some of them, and they're not newbies, but I do feel like they are putting it out there for the same reasons that you all mentioned.
And, you know, part of that is because of the YouTube, you know. So everybody's on YouTube, and all these YouTubers are acting like they're big professional makeup artists because all of a sudden they've got all these makeup companies sending them freebies and stuff. And I'm like, wait a minute, you know. How are y'all getting all this free stuff? And so then when they get to touch one celebrity, you know, they're trying to elevate. So I think it's mixing in. That's part of the genre that's mixing in, and the tags are used so that they can legitimize themselves too.
Yeah, I mean, I know this is not about being a celebrity makeup artist and or YouTuber guru, because that's just like a whole another 5-hour conversation about, you know, just kind of the lack of respect that cosmetic companies seem to have for us.
Absolutely.
Hardworking makeup artists and even newbies.
Absolutely.
Even newbies who haven't been in business a year but are busting their behinds to be yes. editorial makeup artists, and yet they don't get the products that these people
right.
on YouTube get.
Yeah.
And, it breaks my heart when people always write me and say, Deshawn, I can't afford the makeup, and nobody's, and it's a sad state of affairs when the cosmetic companies are more willing to give it to somebody who, one, can't even do makeup.
Right.
And can't even do makeup on anybody but themselves.
But themselves.
And
right.
then
and
here we have
look.
Right. And then we have hardworking, hard striving people who want to be makeup artists and take it seriously as a craft and a business, and you mm-hmm. won't give them the time of day. I'm confused by that.
Yeah. Yep. Yep, very much so.
But I don't want to hijack. You know, Denise, you know I'll be hijacking everything,
I know.
Right?
There's so much to talk about, and one leads into the other, you know.
Yes.
As what people need to know, everybody says, oh, you're a makeup artist. Oh, so, no, it's not an easy path. The path that I took yesterday to get here, that path has been erased by the wind,
mm-hmm.
and now you have to carve and create another way to go
mm-hmm.
because all these new entities are coming in. And so, yeah, it's a hijack. I agree to Sean, but at the same time, it's part of what is driving what we do today.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? So it's part of the conversation still.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard. I mean, even I have people who you know, go, well, where's your YouTube videos, Deshawn? I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, now
I
got to do YouTube videos?
I know. What? I have to be in front of the camera, too?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And I'm fighting that now and absolutely being pushed
mm-hmm.
by a photographer that I work with because, you know, we have a magazine. He's pushing me to get in front of the camera now because, in reality, he's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's necessary.
You
have to be in front of the camera to beat out the image, you know, the people who don't have the experience and have the clientele and have the know-how and have the consistent work ethic and the amount of work that we, you know, produced. We have to get in front of the camera so that we can now address these makeup companies.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, we're going to be left in the dust. Our fabulous skills and our fabulous resume is going to be in the dust.
That's right. That's like saying, oh, well, I'm a good makeup artist, but I don't need social media. Well, we already know that training.
That ain't true.
Reputation.
No, that is not true.
That is not true.
At all.
So the next move now is we all have to get in front of the camera. We do.
Yeah, we do.
We do.
I just did
it's
a little
sad,
bit last night. I was doing a photo shoot. And, you know, he's trying to wean me in because for the last year and a half, I'm always like, oh, I'm hot. I'm having a hot flash. Oh, I can't. Oh, I don't look good today. Oh, no. And I always come up with excuses. And finally, I just decided last night, you know, just do it in bite-sized bits. Do it. You got to practice because if you don't, you're going to be less. It's like not having a Twitter account.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, ladies.
We went there, didn't we?
I love this show because I learned so much from other artists mm-hmm. that are out there. This is like the most brilliant thing the twins have done.
I know.
I hope you don't mind you calling
Thank
the twins,
you.
But y'all are the twins.
I know.
I mean, this is so amazing, so amazing. I learned so much, and, you know, it boosts my confidence, really.
Oh, wow. Well, that's a great thing.
Absolutely.
That's a great thing. Well, ladies, I want you all, well, Deshawn, I definitely want you to speak on this, but then also, Valerie, I'd like for you to speak on it from a perspective because you, not only are you hair and makeup, but you also, you know, own the magazine. But Deshawn, from a makeup perspective, compare editorial to advertising, the makeup.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, you know, obviously our makeup can run the gamut. So we could, an editorial, let's say, because my favorite magazine is Italian Vogue, so or Pop or something like that. Like in the back of those magazines, you can have like a model in fierce clothes who looks like a doll, and literally mm-hmm. looks like a doll in the back of those things. God, I love those things. So you can mm-hmm. have like you can like for an editorial. I feel in my mind, even though it's somewhat true that editorials can be just way more fantasy, and you could just kind of take them to a weird level, like a naked woman pushing jeans, and, you know, it's just like, what? Whereas advertising to me is a little bit more literal,
right.
like if you do, if you're doing a, I'm going to take it bare, but if you do like a toothpaste ad campaign, clearly she's not going to be laying naked in, you know, a field of lilies, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying. So editorial makeup can be a crazy range of things, whereas advertising is really set to what you are pushing. So if let's go to that. So if I'm pushing, most of the time it depends on, like, jeans. Okay, so now we're going to break it down. Which jeans? Is it Rockaware jeans or is it Jordache jeans? What's the consumers that they're trying to hit? Is it black girls? Is it white girls? Is it black boys? Mm-hmm. Is it white boys? And so all of that has a meaning, and all of that has a way for us to pinpoint our makeup. Which way is it going to go? You know, so like if a Fashion Fair ad campaign might be different from a NARS ad campaign. It's all makeup,
right,
but it's different. Whereas it's still, but it's still not that fantasy kind of wackadoo makeup that you get to do on an editorial shoot. 95% of the time, it's not that crazy. It's more geared and targeted towards their market, whatever that market may be, housewives, white, black, which one is it? You know, it's really targeted, so you have to know a lot of different areas, economic areas, and understand that makeup style and have it in your book to show if you want that job. So it's really more consumer-driven, whereas our editorial world is what comes out of the team's mind that we come up with. So that's what I'm saying. I hope that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that totally, because the same goes for hair, because, you know, and it depends even when you're talking editorial, say now since you have all these celebrities doing editorial spreads, and that's pretty much what my magazines mostly, can't really stray too far from where they feel like they can, who they are.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to keep things pretty, you know, in the real world, whereas, you know, when you're doing editorial with models, you can just, you know, be creative, and the hair can be all kinds of wild and crazy, you know. You can take them totally out of what they would normally do because they just have to be a mannequin.
Right.
And so the same thing goes for advertising. You have to kind of keep it in the real world. And as Deshaun said, depending on what target audience you're trying to sell to, you have to cater it to that. Totally real world, and keep your fantasy out of it. I was just watching a whole binging on RuPaul's Drag Race because I just like to see how these guys come up with these wild eye makeups. But, you know, in real world, who's wearing, you know, it's like it's interesting to see their creativity, but the reality is you can't really be walking around like that. So,
yeah,
you know, it's the same kind of thing. That kind of creativity is fabulous for editorial,
right?
Depending on, you know, what magazine it is, and if it calls for that. But other than that, you almost have to really be well versed in doing, you know, every day,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you know,
everyday
with advertising,
hair, you have to be able to do everyday hair,
right? And you know, you have to be careful because with advertising, you are selling a brand,
right?
So the looks would have to be a little bit more cleaner.
Yes.
You know, not
very clean. Very clean.
Very clean. Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Very, very clean. So, Deshaun, you mentioned the portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of my editorial work, if I'm going to put some images in my portfolio, and I know, you know, you have various types of editorial, like you said, depending on the magazine. So some of your editorial looks will be different from others. But in terms of putting these looks in my, let's say I haven't gotten to, let's just say that I've done some test shoots, some editorial test shoots, or not editorial test shoots, but work that I wanted to, that I kind of mimic that would go into what, you know, that you would see in a magazine. If I'm going to put something like that in my portfolio in hopes of trying to get work as an editorial makeup artist, what should those photos look like?
it depends on what you're trying to do. If you're, mm-hmm. if your end goal is seriously, I want to be the most famous person in the world and be an Italian Vogue because that's my goal, hello, it would be to do, like, to try as much as you can to gear yourself towards more fashion, high-end, fashion-y kind of shoots, which means you really do have to study the great photographers. You have to understand period pieces. You have to understand, when I say period pieces, you know, decades of makeup and the mm-hmm. centuries of makeup. You have to understand a lot of it. You have to become well-versed in all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So it depends on really what your goal is. If your goal is, I want to be an Essence, my dream is to be an Essence, okay, then you start to study what you see in Essence, like really look mm-hmm. at it and start to pick it apart, like what not only does the makeup look like, which is very important, but what does the overall feel of the picture look like? You can have the makeup correct, but the girl got a nasty attitude on her face. Well, that's not going to get you into Essence. So,
right.
You know what I mean? You know, everything, I constantly say this to so many people because it's not always about our makeup and or hair. It's about the overall feeling and the overall team effort. And if something's wrong in the team effort, it's not going to work. So you have mm-hmm. to study and you have to do your homework and research what it is that you're trying. Again, you're not there, but you're trying to go after. If, again, if it's Essence, if it's Vogue, if it's Vogue, which Vogue? Is it Italian Vogue? I'm very specific. I want to be an Italian Vogue. I don't want to be an American Vogue. I want to be an Italian Vogue. Hello. You know, but there's styles for American Vogue. Are you going that way? There's styles for Marie Claire. There's styles for all these different things. You have to start pinpointing it and working towards getting to what you see on the paper in these magazines. And once you get close enough, then it will allow you to move on to better teams, better concepts, better this, better that. But the thing is you have to know where you're going, and then you can set your path that way. When I first started, I started just kind of, honey, you threw an editorial at me, I was there. Oh, my God, I'll be there. I'll be mm-hmm. there. I'll be there. I'll be there. But it was all over the place. So, yeah, at one point I had done like 50 magazines, but it was all over the place because I was just happy to be working and happy to have my editorials. But when you dissected them, it was sort of like, oh, I can only use, out of the 50, I could only use 4 of these if I'm trying to get to Marie Claire. Or, oh, mm-hmm. geez, I can only use 2 of these because this is not really Essence-like. You know what I mean? So,
right.
I want people to, when you, if I'm talking to newbies or people who are in the business not too long, I want you guys to understand setting the path of where you want to be is so vital to your book because it will help you navigate through the whole thing of being a makeup artist and the hairstyles. It would just help you.
But, you know, I think it's great to do lots of editorials and do different things, too, because that's the only way you're going to be able to pinpoint, one, what you like.
True.
And really should be doing what you're good at and what you like together. So if you only say, well, I only want to go in this direction and this is all I do, you might not understand and realize that you don't like doing advertising where there's all these parameters and 50 art directors and they tell you specifically what it is you need to do. You might want to be that crazy editorial, the guy who can do the Nicki Minaj crazy wig. I mean, if anybody would have put him in a box, she would have never, ever busted out with those wild looks, which set the pace for her. So, you know, you have to almost kind of do it all. And then by that process, it allows you to figure out, oh, you know what? I'm good at this. This is where I want to hone in. You know, like set your goals based on, oh, this is where I'm seeing I'm good at, or, yeah, child, I can't really, you know, as much as I try, I'm too stressed out trying to do it on this, you know. So, I think it's good to kind of mix it up and do a lot, especially early on. You need to, like, kind of do all the different avenues. So that's the only way I figured out that I'm not really good on a TV set or on a movie set. You know, I don't have the temperament for it. It's just, like, and that's the only way I was willing and able to start my own thing because, you know, after doing lots of different things, it's like, well, wait a minute. I see how they do it. Maybe I could do it kind of thing. So.
Well, clearly, as a newbie, nobody's going to have the clothes, the model, the type
right.
of photographer, all that. You're not going to have any of that
right.
to, how you say, you know, you ain't doing Italian Vogue right now. You're going to be doing
right.
things that will hopefully get you to point you into that direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, I think maybe because I started out and, like I said, I ran around, honey. You said Deshaun. I turned around, said yes, and I'll be right there.
Yeah.
And it was sort of like, I think, you know, looking back, I would have liked to have been a little bit more strategic in what I was doing because.
But I think Deshaun, you can't really second guess yourself like that because as soon as the light bulb went off, that was the time it should have gone off. It was perfect. You know what I'm saying? Because some people today, especially now, it's an instant society. So we think that we need to understand and know exactly what it is we want to do immediately. And sometimes that's just not – when you figured it out was the perfect timing for you to figure it out.
That's true, too. You know? I mean, I agree with
that,
too.
Yeah, you've got to give yourself credit for that. And that's – it goes otherwise, trust me, you just can't – you can't feel like – I couldn't feel like I could go up against a Ted Gibson some of these big – a Sam – you can't feel like you could even compete with these guys because you just feel like everybody's so far ahead of you. You can't think of that. Like, when it goes off, it's perfect timing.
See, you know, I think my thing was I never tried. I mean, of course you – I mean, I bow down, hello, to the Sams. And, then, you know, please, hello, bow down.
Right.
You know what I'm saying. But it wasn't like I was like, how do you say, like Sam Fine or Kevin O'Quan, they were just – for me at the time, completely untouchable. Look, when I met Sam Fine for the first time, I was in a restaurant with my girlfriend, and he walked in, and I thought I was going to die.
Right.
That was the feeling I got. And then when I actually got the nerve to speak to him, I mean, and he was so sweet to me, and I told my girlfriend, we have to leave the restaurant now because I've spoken to him, and I don't want to stare at him the whole night. We have to leave. And then I went outside and cried. I mean, it was like, you know what I mean? These people were beyond what I would – at the time, have even thought. I didn't compare myself to a Sam Fine because to me, there was no comparison. Still,
right.
I mean, I don't think, you know, I don't do what he does anyway, so there's no comparison.
Right.
But I just wanted to be the best that I could have been, and I knew by studying the magazines. I'm going to make this a real quick story. I know it's on my blog. I was assisting a makeup artist named Sharon Gold on a David LaChapelle shoot, and if anybody who does not know who David LaChapelle is, you need to study and look them up, okay? So I'm on a shoot. Right, exactly. So I'm on a shoot with David LaChapelle, all sitting around in lunch, having lunch. And, of course, I'm new, and I do never, ever, ever don't do this ever, okay, what I'm about to say. We're all sitting there, and he is flipping through magazines, basically saying, like Italian Vogues and stuff. Oh, this is shit. This is stuff. And I'm like, what's wrong with them? What's wrong? I thought they were all beautiful. So I said to him, what's wrong? I thought they were all beautiful. Dumb me. And he turns to me, and he's very stern with me, and he says, look at this. And he pulls open the mag. Look at this, bad lighting. Look at this, bad clothes. Look at the way she's no expression. And he went off. He went off on me. Like, you stupid idiot. Don't you understand? It's not just about your stupid makeup. And then he slammed the magazine down and left. And I said, oh, my God, I'm going to die. But he taught me in his David LaChapelle way, like, it's not just about your makeup. You have to learn everything you see. You have to study everything. And that
That's
was before
right.
I really did editorials. You have to understand the whole scope of everything in order for you to know, you know, what's a good picture, what's
That's
a bad
right.
picture.
That's right.
And so,
which photographers take good pictures and
exactly.
bad pictures, and which magazines understand how to
exactly.
put a good picture on the cover.
Exactly.
There are certain big magazines, and I'm not going to call any names right now, but the last year and a half, their covers have been horrible. Like, who is editing? So why would I want my work presented? You know, it's like, it's all of that. You have to understand that.
You have to understand all that. So I think for me, and then, of course, I'm only doing this 12 years, so hindsight for me is like, gee, I wish I had kind of just honed myself a little bit more on some of the nuances that now that I do know now, and that's when I speak to people who are new, I want them to understand so badly that you need to pay attention to everything, not just your makeup. You have to pay attention to the way she poses. You have to pay attention to everything because that's the only way you're going to get into those other magazines. I wasn't paying attention to everything. I was paying attention to a few things. I wasn't paying attention to everything. And so that helped. Though I had 50-some-odd editorials in some decent magazines, it didn't – those – if I had just – and, again, I know what you mean. When you say, well, Sean, Jesus Christ, you know, you in 50 magazines, get over yourself. But it's just sort of like, if I had known what I know today, that if I had just paid attention to this heifer's eye going the wrong way, this shot would have been amazing. Do you know what I mean? And that's what I'm saying. I really try to make it as clear to newbies as possible. You have to pay attention to everything, everything, because that way you won't be doing 50 editorials like I did before you got to your first cover of a decent magazine. I know it's hindsight and, you know, blah, 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 but it's just sort of like, you know.
And you know what that speaks to, though, Deshaun, is also understanding that before you take a job, know who the heck is shooting.
Yeah.
And know who, because a lot of times, even if you do your best work, you got the best model, they know what they're doing, they know what their light is. If the photographer who is the director does not understand how to get the model to, like you said, not turn their eye funny or buck eye or whatever, the images will never look good.
They'll never look good. And you'll
never
there. And all you do is look at that cockeyed eye, and you'll
That's
say, right. oh, my God, why that didn't I right. say something about her funky eye? Why didn't I make her squint? Why not? You know what I mean? It's like all
right.
these
and
weird
sometimes
things.
You have no control over that, so that's what I'm saying. It depends on what photographer you're working with. So there's some photographers that you can kind of have to never work with because they will never understand how to get the model, the person to do the, you know, to pose properly.
Right.
They'll never get that. They'll do beautiful compositions. Everything is great. Lighting is great. All the assistants running around. It's all great. Model always looks kooky. And
so
I'm talking about, I've noticed that on some of these big magazines lately.
Yeah, I have
like,
too.
Yeah, you know you do. It's like, really? Really, y'all? This is, and who is the art director that's letting this go by?
Mm-hmm.
You
but
know,
see, this,
so
this
then...
Is,
Yeah,
that's
so
exactly
that means you
about.
Have to just work with people who you know is not going to let that pass. So then when you do the great work, we're all looking at the same thing. We all understand that, oh, yeah, that's a good image. And you can, you know, it's going to work. Because there's a lot of guys out there making money, and they're not really very good. And so it doesn't matter how good you are, hair or makeup, you know, they're not really honing in and paying attention either.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing that I always say, and excuse me, and I always truly believe that because when you're starting out, clearly you're not doing editorial, you're testing to get to an editorial level. So when you're testing, it is so, it's paramount that you work with a photographer who doesn't have a problem with you saying, oh, wow, you know, whispering, oh, her eye's a little funky, can we move her? Do you see what I'm saying? Like, sometimes we... This is, again, going back to David slamming the paper down. It goes back to pay attention to everything. And sometimes the photographer cannot pay attention to everything. And sometimes it is up to the team to come up and say, like, sometimes, like, I'll work with a hair person. excuse me. I'll work with a hair person, and a person might say to me, oh, Deshaun, something happened to her lash. Oh, you saw that? I didn't see that. Or the hair might be may have come out in the back, and I say, oh, did you see your hair? Her hair came out. Oh, stop.
Yep.
Let me fix her hair. So it's a team effort. So if you have a photographer who you work with who does not want to hear from you, then I would move on, and I wouldn't work with that photographer because it
that's
is a
exactly
team
the
thing.
Point.
You know what I mean? So that's when I say it is always up to us. It takes a village, honey, to make a picture, not to raise a child, to make a picture. And that's what I'm saying. I've been on some high-end sets where makeup artists, fashion styles, anybody will speak up and say, wait a minute, something's wrong, and the photographer will stop. So if you have that kind of rapport with your photographer, then you can definitely walk over to him or her and say, ooh, her eye's a little funky today. Can we change her? Can you make her squint her eye? You know what I mean?
I agree.
Yeah. So I never want people, I don't want people to be passive, because when you're passive in this business, not too much is going to happen for you, and you're going to wind up with funky pictures. And that's the last thing you want, and a lot of wasted hours.
True. I agree.
So, Deshaun, let me ask you this, and well, both of you, actually. What is proper editorial etiquette? Because I had this plan to ask you, and I was going to bring up the whole the whole shoot where you were assisting Sharon with David. What is proper etiquette as far as once the shoot is complete and, you know, the magazine's out in the stores and, you know, you pick your magazine up and you know, you see your work and, you know, you want to put your work in your portfolio. What's proper etiquette, you know, especially with when being that you assisted Sharon on a shoot?
Right.
And I know we've talked about this before in, you know, past shows, but can you just kind of talk about that again, like, you know, who owns the work?
Oh, okay.
Gets the credit, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, if you're assisting, again, we're going to go back to assisting. If you're assisting, you're there to assist the artist. That is not your job. You can sit there and do the whole face. It's still not your job, and I know people are up in arms about that, and quite frankly, so was I. When I first started, I was pissy. I was like, what do you mean? I'm doing all the work. What are you talking about? But that's just the way it goes. That's just the rule. You've got to follow the rule. So, yes, if you are assisting, it's not your editorial. It's not your tear. Your job on that particular day was to assist and follow the orders of the key artist. That's it, period, point blank, boom. The only thing that you can do is to write it down in your resume that you, let's say me, assisted, I forgot what the magazine was. I don't know, I'll pick Italian Vogue again because I'm obsessed. So Italian Vogue assisted Sharon Gold. That's what I would do. Get it? So it would be the name of the magazine. It would be giving credit to the key, or you could put down assisted Sharon Gold, or you do key, and then you write down the name of the person. But that's it. That's it. That's it. That's all you get. Okay? That's it. And sometimes some people don't even want you to do that. And you may want to ask the key about that. Like, oh, can I, is it, you know, what? How would you like me to word this on my resume? Can I work on my resume? You need to ask that, because some keys are just funky, and they're, you know, they don't want you to have any credit, and that's up to them. So so that's clear. You get bupkis. You're there for the experience of assisting and learning while you're on set. It has nothing to do with the editorial at hand, period.
Wow, that's good to know. I haven't had any experience assisting, so I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
So let's talk a little bit about the makeup and the hair. If I'm an editorial hairstylist or makeup artist, when going to a job, and I ask this question a lot with makeup artists and hairstylists, like what should an artist have in their kit? But, you know, like we said, editorial is very different from film and television. So if I'm an editorial artist, what should I have for every job that I go on? And I know most of us have some of the same things, but is there anything in particular that's specific for the editorial artist? What should you guys be looking out for when you're on a shoot in regards to hair and makeup? Or be prepared for, rather, I should say.
Go on, Val.
Okay, so, like, for hair, I haven't had the opportunity as of late to do a lot of, like, way-out editorials. I do have a friend that he's a hairstylist, and he walks around with this trunk case full of hair. So anything pops up, he could go in his trunk case and pull out any color, any texture, and whip up a fantasy hairdo. I know how to do all that stuff, but I just don't feel the need to walk around with extra hair because it's kind of not what I do. But for editorial, which means you're getting a chance to be, you know, a little more creative and do fantasy stuff, you really need to have a go-to box full of different hair pieces,
straight, different colors, different textures, so that you could on the fly just create, you know, and go for it. Of course, you have your favorite sprays. You also have to always have your clips, rubber bands, bottom, you know, just your basic tools to do hair. But you have to be ready for editorial, I would say, to do any kind of fantasy, because you might be working with a team or a photographer that says, you know what, I see this hairstyle needs to be, you know, a faux hawk that's curly or whatever, and the model has short hair. You have to be able to figure out how you're going to do that, and it helps to have, you know, a little access box where you could just pull out some extra hair and make it happen. I think that would be really a plus. As far as the regular advertising or editorial, you know, you just have to make sure your kit is clean and clean combs and brushes. Your regular, I mean, and it's funny because I'll work a lot, and then one day I'll pull out my brush, you know, my little kit that has the case that has the brushes, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's kind of dust. You got to, you know, take time to clean out your kit and make sure that when you pull it out and you pull out a comb, a bunch of hairs don't pop out, you know, that kind of thing. You know, because you just get busy and you forget. Stuff gets dusty and, you know, and make sure your bobby pin, you know, little case full of all the different pins is clean and organized, you know, that kind of thing. So that's what I would say. Yeah.
Yeah, and for the makeup, okay, how do we set this up? For every editorial or every test that you have, there are meetings before you do it. Now, I'm not talking about like 15,000 meetings, but there are conversations, discussions, emails, back and forth about the photographer may contact you and say, hey, I have this idea. Let me send you pictures of what I'm talking about. And then you go, okay, then you look at them. You go, oh, cool, okay, now I know what to bring. So if it's a fantasy, like we say it's a fantasy or not even a fantasy, it could just be a red lip story. Well, this guy wants 5 different red lips. Now, what happens is if you weren't paying attention to those emails or are having a conversation back and forth, then you would have maybe brought one and been like, oh, dang, I didn't know this was a red lip story. Ain't nobody told me. And then you'd be out.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, the most important part of setting up your editorials or whatever is that pre-production, what we call pre-production, which is having your meetings with the photographer and finding out what his or her idea is. And then you two collaborate on that, and then you bring in, like, a hair person, and, you know, if it's pertinent. Sometimes hair could just be pulled back. So, you know, if a hair person is pertinent for the shoot, then you have that. Or if you have a fashion stylist, they bring them into the conversation. So all of that, it's like I always say, it's a collaborative effort. It's not just one thing. Again, it's the way he's going to light it. It's all these different things that you have to think about. And when you have these pre-production meetings or emails or conversations, then you'll see what they're talking about. You'll see that, oh, you know what, when I do this red lipstick in this kind of light, I know it's going to read black. Oh, I got to go get another lipstick. So you know what to bring. But if you don't, let's say one day you luck up and you have a friend who's a photographer like I did. I have a fabulous friend who's a photographer. And, you know, she would say, Dee, come on over, let's play. And I'm like, oh, damn, okay. And then I would just go in there and grab, I have like a big old art box, so I bring my art stuff. And, you know, and art stuff could be whatever's in your mind. It could be ribbons.
Right.
It could be funky eyelashes. It could be, like, think what's fun for you. And, you know, especially if somebody gives you the opportunity to do whatever, think what you think would be cool. Like, oh, wow, I always wanted to do a eyebrow story where a girl's eyebrows are red and green and blue. Hey, then do it. So it depends, but the most important part about it is that communication that you're going to have with the photographer, because most of the time it's the photographer that's setting the pace and not, you know, not unless you have an idea and you bring it to them. And then what you would do is send them pictures and say, hey, I have this idea. Do you think you'd like to shoot it? And they may say, yeah, that sounds cool. Let's do it. So I want people to understand that there's a pre-production that goes into any testing and any editorial that happens. If you have a photographer who does not do that, then you run the risk of not knowing what to do, and then you have to bring the world, you have to bring 5 freaking suitcases full of crap when all you needed was that red lip.
Right.
And nobody wants to do that, believe me. I've lugged so much crap with me around town and suitcases and up and down freaking subway steps. Oh, please. Ain't nobody want to do that. You believe me, once you guys run around and do this enough and you realize, oh, my God, I didn't need to bring those extra 3 suitcases full of crap,
mm-hmm.
you'll learn to ask questions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Valerie, can you speak to us about the whole process of doing – an editorial spread in your magazine?
For my magazine, because I work with a photographer exclusively and we've been working together like 10 years,
mm-hmm.
we kind of work organically. And because we're working a lot of times with, you know, people that are currently on TV, you don't really have the flexibility to sort of like do wild and crazy things.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we keep it kind of easy and open, and, you know, they get there, and if they see the clothes and they're not feeling a piece, we'll pull it out. We like to sort of just see how they're feeling and then, you know, ask a few questions of what it is they like and go like that. For the most part, we do everything organically. We do everything pretty much on the fly because we find that, one, it doesn't get the talent all up in a roar. Most of these guys are working. They're really busy. They're squeezing in a photo shoot here and there, you know, and we try to maximize the time so that we can get them in and out. We'll do, you know, 8 or 9 looks in 5 hours, and that's an hour and a half of hair and makeup, too, because we know that their time is valuable. And when you keep it kind of easy and fast-paced and fast-moving, it keeps them
mm-hmm.
relaxed. And we really don't have that much, you know, trouble, as well as it allows us to sort of drive the creativity without too much back and forth. Well, I don't like this. Then the publicist doesn't jump in and, you know, you don't have all this. So we work a little bit different than what an average magazine shoot would be. Normally, like John said, you would have to hook up with either the publicist, the stylist, the photographer. Everybody has to meet back and forth. And I've been on a couple of those shoots with some of my other celebs where, you know, back and forth emails about what we're going to do. But I've also found that even with all the back and forth, and I've been on a couple of really big shoots, you better bring some contingency plans and sort of be able to think outside the box because they always change their mind. What happens is the talent gets to the shoot and they're not feeling whatever the photographer's talking about. And this has happened to me on a couple of occasions. They're not going with whatever the photographer is saying because the photographer has decided they're going to do X and the talent doesn't feel like that. So
mm-hmm.
you have to be able to have that flexibility that all the stuff that you talked about is out the window and now you have to come up with something on the spot.
Right.
So, you know, that's kind of how I work best. So, you know, that doesn't really throw me, but you have to be willing to understand that anything that is discussed prior is never set in stone until you get to the place. You know, if you might be loving it, the talent loves it, the PR comes in and says, nope, I don't like that. Or the manager comes in, nope, I don't like that. Or we do a lot of kids that are on Disney and, you know, they're underage and the mom is in the background going, no, that's not it. That's not going to work. So you have to sort of reconfigure and you have to have a little flexibility. You can't feel
mm-hmm.
like, oh, okay, you know, nobody can tell me what to do. Or this is what we said. Oh, my God, you know, I've been caught like that. Oh, I didn't bring. Like, I have a kit that I bring, you know, big old giant kit that I drag around when I'm doing women. And then when I do guys, I'm like, oh, great, I can just bring, because they only need, like, light touch-up. Every time I get caught,
mm-hmm.
I didn't bring papers. I didn't get, you know, so it's a little bit, you can pare it down, but you always have to make sure you have a little backup because people change their minds.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you ladies think that there's anything that you would want to say about editorial
mm-hmm.
makeup and hair that you haven't touched on tonight?
Jesus, honey, how many hours do we have?
Right.
Lord.
Well, let me ask this. Valerie, do you do your what's the hair makeup for the celebrities that are in your magazine? Are you doing hair makeup, or do you hire people to do hair makeup?
for the last 4 years, every editorial I've done all the hair and the makeup. I'm starting now to bring in guest artists to do what we call our Get the Look, which is features we do with models, because now we can be more creative and the model talent's kind of funny style. And we're trying to establish ourselves as a brand, and we knew that we needed to come up with a different way of doing things that was very efficient, very quick, and then the end result was dazzling. So in order to control that, I do it all. I do all the hair and makeup, and Dimitri does all the photography, of course. So now that we've got 4 years of, you know, tear sheets and track record and the publicists are coming around and stuff like that, now we're able to, you know, I can back up a little bit and I can start bringing in other people to do some features. And, you know, sooner or later we'll be able to farm a lot of that out too. So, yeah, currently I do it all.
Gotcha.
And I love it. I mean, that's my favorite part. I love doing hair and makeup. I love doing red carpet, you know, get them ready for an event kind of thing, because then I'm allowed to do hair and makeup both. Because, you know, still here in Hollywood, you have to either have a hairstyle or you have to have a makeup artist. So, you know, a lot of times I get beat out on stuff because I do both and I kind of prefer to do both.
Gotcha.
And Valerie, make sure you give the information for your magazine, how people can see it, where they need to go.
Oh, yeah, we're online. We created the online magazine because we knew that everybody would be looking at things on their phone and on their tablets. And so you can find us at Regard, RegardMag.com, regardmag.com. And you can, you know, access the back issues, and, you know, we have a daily blog that has all kinds of, you know, different get the looks and all kinds of stuff, and lots of behind-the-scenes videos of each and every shoot that we do.
Gotcha. And Deshaun, any final words?
Girl, you know, don't ask me that question.
I know, right?
No, I mean, I feel like it's just so important that everybody understand that setting a path, even though, like, my path and Val's path just changed. Like, we started out in film. I started out in film and TV, and she did too. And then we said, okay, moving up this way. So it's not like you have to stick to the path. She's right. You might not like the fantasy funky makeup. You might really like clean commercial, and that's cool too. But you should have, like, a kind of straight kind of line that you're going to stick with, not forever, not for your whole life, but there's a line that you should stick with, at least so you can find out if you do like it. Sometimes people, you know, they go, oh, I'm not really good. Like, I have a lot of students. Oh, I just saw my students today to make a show. Hi, students. And, you know, they, you know, if you didn't tell me, you know, to stick with this, I might have just dropped it. You know, because sometimes we drop things not because we're not good at it. It was just a bad experience. And I just don't want people to let funkiness and experiences get in the way of their path. I've had experiences coming home and crying to the poor boyfriend, like, I don't want to do this anymore. This sucks. I don't want to, you know, and he's like, oh, my God, what happened? And it wasn't like I did something wrong, but it just felt like I never want to ever do editorials again, you know. I mean, really, it was just a bad damn day. So I just don't
right.
I don't want the extraordinary weirdo things that happen to set people off and say, I really don't want to do that. Because, girl, Val, by the time they get to the level of freaking art directors and editors and all that stuff, you don't want to be there either. Nobody wants to be there. I don't want to be there because they're paying it behind. Nobody who wants to be there with them. But
that's
just part of the job. And that, you know what? And that's just something that says we've made it and we can handle these people. And we're good. And I think as long as you just kind of stick with the path. I love film. I wish I kind of stayed with film, but I was just going broke, and I was just destitute. So I couldn't
yep.
do film. I wasn't yep. one of the twins, you know. I didn't have
okay.
that. You know, I didn't, you know, I ain't working with no Tyler Perry. You know what I'm saying. I didn't have that. So.
Deshaun Hush.
they got you on top.
I ain't working with Tyler Perry either.
You know what I mean? You know, we didn't have Tyler Perry. I was working on independent films, okay, low budget.
Right.
So
right.
If I had those fabulous jobs, I might have stuck with it a little longer. But, yeah, but I just want people to hear, like newbies, y'all have to understand that things are going to be hard, and you just have to kind of, I want you to stick with it and not just think about your makeup all the time. It's more
mm-hmm.
to it than that. And once you understand that, then your shoots are going to go better, and your book is going to look better, and your career will get better. So that's what
mm-hmm.
I have to say about that, because she knows I can go on.
Well, thank you so much, ladies. I think it was really important to, you know, for the listeners to hear some of the things that you ladies shared tonight. Even when we, you know, went into detail about the published makeup artists, because, you know, I'm hoping that some of the makeup artists out there who, you know, they've seen other artists who use that in their profiles or on their resumes, and maybe were considered doing it themselves. I hope now they kind of look at it a little differently, just like Val is thinking about taking celebrity off. But I think that's different.
Yes.
But still.
I mean, that's like Sam Fine saying, I'm the African-American makeup artist. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Duh.
True. I agree.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I agree. It's dumb.
Sometimes you don't have to try and reinvent the wheel to make yourself look better. The thing that's going to make you look better is your work, period, point blank.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I agree. I just wish more artists would realize that. And,
yes.
You know, and the all of that talking about what you're doing is so not necessary. Just do the work.
Exactly.
People will eventually know about it, you know, once it's done. But just do the work. Focus on that and not so much about who you're doing and the fact that now you have a tear sheet for your portfolio and all that kind of stuff.
Because if you have a website, I like to say, but if you do have a website, we can see that. Do you know, like,
right.
We can see that.
Like
sometimes, you know, you're on Facebook and people post, oh, I did this person, and I'm very happy for people. I'm always responding, like, congratulations. And I know how it is to be excited over your first hair or your first celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I work with somebody, and I was screaming their name walking down the street talking to all my friends. Oh, my God, I can't believe it. I was, like, screaming to the top of my lungs. So I understand that. I get it. But then it comes to the point where it starts to get annoying. Like, I get it. Okay, and then the celebrity comes in. It's like, I'm a celebrity makeup artist. I'm like, you've only worked on three people. Get a grip.
Right.
You know? So if you just have a website, people can go to your website and they can see what you have done. There's no need for the mouth. We see it. It's okay. You don't always have to do it. Because, quite frankly, you're not, how you say, you're not a key yet, let's say. You're not a key yet, so you still need people to help you probably get to these people in the first place. And all of that braggadocious stuff is kind of annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And you turn off anybody who might help you in the long run, because sometimes some people don't want, like, for me personally, if I'm working on somebody, I don't want my assistants talking about it. It's none of anybody's business until I say it's somebody's business. Or until, you know
right.
what I mean? Like, just because I'm working on with this celebrity does not mean you need to get on your phone and tweet, oh, I'm working with Sophie. Deshaun's working with, nuh-uh, I don't want you to do that.
Right.
I'm working. It's a job. It's a serious job to me. No need to publicize it. I don't need the glory. You'll see it when it comes out. You'll see it here.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see my name and stuff. There's no need. And I think this the rush to be a star. Everybody wants to be a star.
Absolutely.
That
awesome.
It's like, do you want to be a star or do you want to be a good makeup artist? Which one is it? Because I'm getting confused with the PR. More people put their face on their own cards than they do their own work.
Yeah,
no.
Right.
That?
That's like a card
right.
with just letters on it. Didn't I say that last time? Like, really? You're going to have a card with just letters? You're not showcasing your work? It doesn't make sense.
So, I mean, girl, you know, I told you, don't get me started. I told you, so I'm going to be quiet so you can finish your show. I can't believe nobody has questions for us, though. Who are the anybody listening? Because I can't believe y'all don't have no questions for us. That's crazy.
I know. It's crazy. People, you know, I've noticed that people, they listen. They get on the phone lines and they listen, but everyone's afraid to talk. And I'm like, when you have a guest here on the show, that's the perfect time to get your questions answered.
Oh, my
yeah.
God. I just want to say this to your listeners. I have to say this to your listeners. You guys have got to understand what these ladies are giving you. It's an opportunity to talk to some of the most amazing, they had Sam Fano here not too long ago, amazing artists. And if you don't take the opportunity to ask your questions directly to them, you're going to be so upset with yourself. Oh, I should have, would you hang up and think, oh, I should have asked that girl. I always wanted to know. Don't email me after the show. Don't email me after the show and ask me a question, because you could have asked me a question right now. And that's it. It's very upsetting when I get emails later. And, oh, I just wanted to ask you a question. Well, why didn't you ask? So everybody could share on the lesson. Everybody, probably there's a lot of people who have the same questions you have that may want to know the answer, just like you do. So come on, step forward. And, you know, you have to be proactive in this business. You sit there and be quiet and mousy. Honey, you are never going to get anything. As you could tell with me and Val, we like to talk.
Okay. But you know what it is, Deshaun? A lot of them are probably watching reality shows right now.
Oh, please. Please don't get me started.
Yeah.
And that's not the way to act.
It's Sunday night.
Yeah.
But that's okay. The cool thing about this, your blog radio, is because I'm catching up, too. I mean, you know, you can go back and listen later. So if anybody does have a question, feel free to email me. And don't email me, how can I, like, come on the set and assist you right away? Because as far as I'm concerned, in order to get to where I'm at right now, there's some other steps that you have to take, you know, to get there. So, you know, you need to kind of like be out there on your own, fumbling around a little bit.
You have to learn.
Build your own character. To learn, to figure out what it is, what you do like, and come to me with a little bit of experience and a little bit of set etiquette, you know, knowing what it takes. Because then, you know, it goes a lot farther.
Now, I was just joking when I said don't email me, because everybody knows y'all can email me. But I just make it a point of saying. But I just want to make a point of saying this is such a valuable resource to you guys. And if you just sit there Sunday nights and you don't participate, it's just going to go right by. And I know you can listen to this 15,000 times and get it. But if you really do have questions, you really should be, like, at the ready, like, oh, my God, there's an editorial thing. Let me write down my questions tonight, I want to ask, because the moment's going to go. And, like, the makeup show is, you know, I was at the makeup show today, and I'll be at the makeup show tomorrow, and people want to walk up to me and ask me then. It's like, well, good Lord, I don't have time to be sitting up there talking about editorial beauty. And you know, it's not that kind of conversation. You just have it on the fly. I can't help you on the fly.
Right, and just think about how, you know, how amazing that experience can be when you're on the phone talking to someone, you know, live. It's almost just like, you know, you and that person having your own personal conversation, and you're just talking makeup.
Yeah.
That's true.
So don't be, y'all, you really got to take advantage of what you have. This is free. Free. I keep saying, I think the girls should charge. Now, I know y'all going to be up in arms for me saying that out loud. But if they charge, maybe you'd speak up, because I don't understand it. This is such a great resource. And it's not, you know, as many things are out there, blogs and this and that and the other. This is amazing for
amazing.
You guys. It's an amazing opportunity.
The consistency week in and week out. So if you step up and ask a question this week, be ready next week, because they're going to have someone equally as amazing.
Exactly.
You know, you're right. You are so right, Deshaun. This is, like, amazing. And 6 years y'all been in the trenches doing this. This is amazing.
This is a lot of work, people. Y'all need to start taking advantage of these ladies' work. This is hard work they do here. They don't have to be doing this. Nobody has to write blogs for you guys. Nobody has to sit up here and do radio shows. And no one has to do this. They're doing this out of the kindness of their hearts. They want you to learn. And like I said, if you sit back and you're real quiet about it, I don't want to bother, I don't want to ask, then I don't understand, like, I don't get the process. Again, you know, I'm a talker, and I like to be in things, but I just don't understand the quietness. Like, this phone should be buzzing because I get so many questions about editorial this, editorial that. I want to assist you. I want to do this. And then when it comes to this radio show, like, crickets, and I don't get it. Well,
true
we appreciate
enough.
You girls very much.
Oh,
well,
thank you very much. And I'm glad you ladies, expressed how you felt about that. That way we wouldn't have to say anything.
Okay.
Well,
I mean,
it is
amazing experience for me.
And it is something that, you know, that I talk about all the time, how people just sit back and listen, which is fine. We want you to listen. But, you know, if you're able to catch the show while we're doing it, if you have questions, ask, because you can always go back, of course, like you said, and listen to the shows over and over and over. But the answer to your question is not in there because you didn't ask.
Exactly.
Yeah. True enough.
Exactly. And the answer would be really, though broad and to help many, it will directly help you. And that's the point.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, ladies, very much. We really do appreciate you coming on and joining us tonight. Some of you were kind of last-minute invite, but you were here, and that was good enough for me. But you guys shared some very important information, which I hope those who did listen or those who will listen later, I hope you guys get something out of it. So thank you again, ladies, for joining us. And, of course, you'll be back.
Yay! I don't mind that at all.
Yay! I think it's fun. Yay.
Yes, you will be back.
And nice to meet you, Ms. Deshaun. I feel like I have a new friend here.
I know, me too.
You know,
I'm a Bollywood Twitter girl.
Experiences, and this is, like, spectacular because I'm in my own little bubble just churning out the work, doing what I do. So it's so that's the other thing that I love about Denise and Janice. They have sort of expanded my horizon to meet, because, you know, we're all shy. Well, I'm shy. So it's nice to be able to meet other artists out there that are doing, you know, they're in the trenches doing the thing. So, so nice to meet you, and I think I friended you on Twitter already.
Well, I see that, because I'm going to friend you right back, honey.
Okay. So thanks, ladies, for everything, and
absolutely.
We'll be listening and tuning in next
week. Don't go anywhere. I have a caller. Okay, really quickly, caller, and really quickly, ladies, because we have about 13 minutes left.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Hello. And the show. My name's Brandy. The show has been amazing. Very quickly, as I'm doing like test shooting, and I want it to look more editorial. Obviously, I'm starting out, so my budget is small. And, you know, I'm trading with the stylist. I got a photographer. Do the clothes have to be super high-end if you're trying to get an editorial look, or is it just more about the overall thing?
It's more about the overall feel. Like, look, when I first started, we wanted to do Givenchy. But, honey, we had H&M budget, okay? So we went to H&M, and we found what we could. Well, not we. I'm not the fashion stylist. The fashion stylist would find what they could that made it look fabulous. And, you know, and they worked it. And that's the whole point. It's like if you really look at some of these magazines, like these Vogues or whatever, if you really do read the fashion credits, you'd be shocked to see that they have H&M stuff in there. And they have, what's the other one? Zara. There's a lot of those stores that are in there. Mm-hmm. But also wanted to make a point. I don't know if you're a hair person or a makeup person.
I do both.
Okay, so let's say if you're a hair and makeup person. So let's say maybe you don't want to do a fashion story right off the bat. Maybe you should start looking at beauty stories that can showcase your hair and makeup really well. So maybe a girl who has her hair parted in a certain way and cropped, the image is cropped in a certain way, might go a longer way for you than trying to do the fashion editorial all the time. because fashion and beauty go kind of hand in hand. So you don't always have to say, oh, my God, I got to find a stylist, and she's got to be able to pull this. It's not like that. Sometimes if you look at Allure's of Fabulous magazine for the beauty editorials, and what's another good editorial beauty? Well, I mean, some of the – oh, you know what's really good? Numero, for some reason. They do amazing beauty editorials, and most of the time the girl ain't got no clothes on whatsoever.
Okay.
And it's just the hair. It is. It's just about the hair and the makeup.
We got a budget for that.
Yeah, exactly. But sometimes you don't have a budget. Sometimes your fashion stylist might not be able to pull even H&M. It might be a bust. So why do you have to suffer being the hair makeup person or the makeup person, whatever you want to be that day or both? Mm-hmm. You could just do a beauty shoot, and that's when you do your research and you start pulling, you start looking at magazines and going online and finding magazines. And you know what? All you do is type in beauty editorials, see what comes up. And a lot of times you'll see W might come up and all these things will come up. And you'll go, oh, my God, I didn't know that. And start to do the research and then start to pick things that you can do almost like Valerie does hair and makeup, things that you can do on your own that you can mimic. And now all you need is the photographer and the model.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
See?
That's
so it's not always about fashion.
Well, and then I would also say,
but I don't have fashion things. I'm sorry.
Well, I would say take this as an opportunity to link up with a fashion stylist who's creative. They can go to the flea market and spend $10 and make see that, because some of the most amazing editorials I've seen have been with like sleeping bags and, you know, like found objects or like stuff from the flea market. That's, again, editorial means creativity. So think outside the box. It's not all about labels and designers.
Right.
It's like think outside the box and really go in like a totally different direction.
Okay, thank you. That helps.
If you're an editorial person, your world is magazines. Your world is magazines. And right now there's so many. I do it all the time. I mean, I'm constantly on there looking. I mean, seriously, at night I could be on there just flipping through hundreds of magazines, spending like hours if I have time. I'll spend hours just looking at what I can find online and then saving it. You know how to grab a picture off the screen and just saving it and creating editorial inspirational shots for myself, you know, and I keep files. I have gigabytes of files of editorial things that I found online, you know, so your world really is to immerse yourself in those editorials and, like, start getting an eye for all of that stuff, you know, and then that way it'll help you research what kind of photographer you're looking for. If you're doing a beauty shoot and there's a certain kind of light, then you can say to that photographer, hey, I really like this shot, but can you do that lighting? That's how you have to start looking at things, because you're going to be your own creative director for a while, and then you'll move on and ask other people to take over for you. But when you first start, I was all creative director. That's kind of all I did. A creative director is the person who is picking creatively the looks and the feel of the shoot. So it would be the model. It will be what you consider, even if it's, let's say, it's a beauty shot and it's just of her neck, but you want a specific collar. So then you could research shoots that have specific collars in it. You'd be amazed at what you can type into the search engine now and what will pop up. You could type in beauty editorial with coats and it'll pop up. So start thinking along those lines and
then of course Pinterest is an amazing
that's a good thing
to find all kind of creative. My niece, I don't know where she gets these images, because I'd be searching online and I never find, so I just go to her site. She has the most creative but like, where do you find these images? So when I need inspiration, two things, Pinterest or go to old bookstores. There's still a few old, like, books where they have all these beautiful architecture or old coffee table books. You get amazing inspiration just leafing through old books, too.
And old movies,
and
oh, my God.
Absolutely.
You'll do it, girl. You do it, because you were brave enough to ask us questions. So I know you're going to do it.
Thank you. Thank you. As I was taking notes the whole time, writing fervently.
Bravo.
Okay. I will. It was a great
all
show.
Right,
thank you.
Okay, thank you, Brandy.
And thank you, ladies.
Thanks again. What a fantastic way to spend a Sunday evening. I loved it.
I had a good time.
Thank you. I enjoyed you both. I like the two of you together.
Okay. Yeah, we've got a new team up here. I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
I like the two of you together.
I like Val. Yeah. She's cool over there in L.A. She got that laid-back attitude.
Yeah, we got to get the two of you, back together on the show.
Fantastic.
Well, thank you again, ladies, and thank you all who listened. Thank you, Brandy, for your question. And for those of you who are out there tweeting, we appreciate you following the conversation. If you like tonight's show, go out and mark it as a favorite here on our Blog Talk Radio profile, or you can leave us your questions and comments on our Facebook page, Beauty Talk Online. And I'll turn it over to my sister if she has any final words.
I guess she doesn't.
Sorry, I had to mute myself because I was coughing.
Oh, okay.
Basically, my normal closing, to follow us on Twitter at @beauty_talk. Follow us on Instagram at @beauty_talk_media. And you can follow us on Facebook. We're Beauty Talk Online Radio on Facebook.
All right. So, again, thank you, ladies, and thank you guys for listening. Join us next Sunday. And the guest, slipping my mind, is Dita Massey. So she'll be joining us here next Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, of course. And until next week, everyone have a beautiful and blessed week. Thank you, ladies.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.